think that the original Berry, City of Berry council members had a lot to be thankful for, that they could lean on Berry, they knew all the protocols, really they got it. Because if you can imagine, when we first went into council, as I said, we were 12 councillors standing in the middle of a paddock with just the clothes we stood up in. We had no staff, we had no equipment, we didn't have a pencil to write with, we didn't have a piece of paper that we could write on. If we could write on it, we didn't have a table, we didn't have a chair, but we were using the facilities of the Shire of Berry. We went up there, used all their know-how, used their officers and officers, engineer, city town clerk, and all the other members of their staff was at our disposal. There's another little anecdote that comes out of that question. The engineer at the time was a very astute fellow, and all the equipment down here, cutting grass and the front end loaders, the trucks, the staff that was working here under the old Shire, they all stayed, of course. But at that stage, they didn't come under our control. It was soon noticed that all the good equipment, the new equipment, which was down this end, hurriedly all got shunted back up to Pakenham. And all the trucks or whatever with their wheels hanging off sort of thing, we got all them down here. And we had to get almost local government ombudsman to sort out the scrap that we were having between them, you know. That was another thing. But that's, you know, the starting of the City of Berwick. We had a look at a big home up behind Berwick Bray now. To have a look at that, we leased that for our city officers for a start, but that wasn't suitable, and these other buildings became available. And it's interesting to look back on that in the first 65 days, I think we had something like 62 meetings, because we had no staff. We had subcommittees within ourselves, and the first appointee was our town clerk.
It required an enormous amount of work by not only the officers of the old Shire, but certainly the councillors elect, because that's all we were until the proclamation of the city in October. And that meant, because we all ran our own businesses or we were all employed, that we had to meet early in the mornings and after we finished work at night. And that, in fact, started the pattern, really, for that first year, because there was such an enormous amount of work required to get the city going and running. One of the most important things that we had to do was to elect a staff for the new city. And I recall that we spent a great deal of time identifying who the best officers were available in Victoria to fill those vacancies. And the end result, after numerous interviews and numerous meetings, was the team that we put together. Many of them were either Victorian or national presidents of their respective associations, but they were a very good balance of newcomers with great experience and a number of officers from the old Shire of Berwick, who in a sense were upgraded into new positions or transferred into new positions within the city of Berwick. One of the essential changes that we introduced at that time was to ensure that the community affairs social issues side were adequately represented in the structure of the council staff. So where Pat Northeast was virtually considered the chief executive officer in today's terms, as the town clerk and Max Pawsey as the city engineer, the next senior person, we also elevated to a senior position the social planner's role, I think it was called, so that we weren't just talking about administration of the council and its various sectors, or about roads and buildings and designs, bridges. We also had a priority commitment to social planning.
The first year was very exciting because out of the 12 councillors that were elected, only four of us had served on local government previously. So you had Councillor Pargeter, who had been on council a long time, and then you had Councillor Simon and myself, who'd been on 2 years, and Councillor Wishart, who'd been on less than that because he'd come in on a by-election. And then you had eight other councillors who really had no experience of local government at all. And I often look back and think how we really were blessed. I think God must have been looking after us in our decision-making during that time, because without any help from any management consultants or anything like that, we advertised for and interviewed and appointed all of our officers. Mm-hmm. And on reflection, that was a mammoth task. Mm-hmm. But as I said, we were blessed because I firmly believe that we have always had and still have the best officers in local government in Victoria. And I guess that they were attracted too because of the challenge and the excitement of the establishment of the new city. And it really was a wonderful experience. It was not easy because we had to resolve with the old Shire who owned what and who got what, and that's a long protracted thing. I guess Mr. Lucas could tell you more about that. It was years in being resolved, and of course in the end wash up it ended up pretty equal that, in regard to who owed what. We had nowhere to meet. It was an interesting time because we were still councillors of the Shire from August until October the 1st. Some of us, mm-hmm. And we were councillors elect for the city.
So you were wearing two hats. Lots of meetings, were you?
Yes, so we were still having to go to the Shire meeting, you know, and do what had to be done there as your usual process. Yeah. But you also were having these meetings about how we were going to put the city in place and organising our interviews for our officers and trying to find somewhere for us to meet. And we looked at all different sorts of places to meet. One of the ones was the old house up at Berwick Brae, which used to be, you know, the hunting club ball room where they used to hold the balls for that. And we ended up, as on record, at meeting down in the site office in Kays Avenue for the CRB when they were building the new freeway down there.
Initially, we started off with a group of 12 councillors that were elected in August 1973. And the big problem that they had at that stage, of course, was that they were not to take official office until the 1st of October that year. So they started having meetings, regular meetings, of the what they call the interim council. And at that stage, the late Barry Wallace, who was the Shire Secretary of the Shire of Berwick, and I attended on the administrative side of things, and Ron Chambers, the former Shire Engineer, and Ken Guy Committee, the former Deputy Shire Engineer, they attended. So there's four Shire of Berwick officers attended the meetings of the new council, and it put together a huge list of decisions in relation to the establishment of the city of Berwick, and they couldn't be acted on, of course. They couldn't do anything other than prepare a big list of recommendations for themselves when they took official office, and that occurred then from August through to October, and then the 1st of October started coming forward, and we had a committee formed to run the proclamation ceremony, and basically at council level there was two or three councillors on that, and I was on, did all the work, and we organised this proclamation. Well, the actual ceremony itself was made up of three parts. Firstly, for historic reasons, seeing the Berwick District Roads Board had met in the Berwick Inn whenever it was back in the 1800s, we decided to have our first meeting in the Berwick Inn, and we met there in the morning. I think it was 9 o'clock. That would show up in the minutes, of course, and we appointed Barry Simon as our first mayor. We appointed our bankers, which was the Commercial Bank of Australia, our solicitors, Matty Clancy and Chisholm, and appointed four acting members of staff. That was an acting town clerk, Barry Wallace, acting deputy town clerk, myself, acting city engineer and acting deputy city engineer. That's Ron Chambers and Ken Guy committee. And at that time there was a cider establishment on the highway at Pakenham, but it was known that they had this product known as Harkaway sparkling or something or other. Well, I kept the one of the bottles that we drank that morning, and it's over in our councillor's room in one of those cabinets, and we had this given to us, this Harkaway sparkling cider. We had a glass to celebrate, and there was a press photographer there or two, and had some photos. And the meeting was adjourned, obviously. And the meeting then resumed in the main street, and we closed the road to traffic. The Southern Command band marched up and down, and its red coats playing. There were probably a few thousand people there. We had a big dais on the grass just in the east side of the War Memorial, and prior to the Governor's arrival, that was Sir Rowan Delacombe, we had a reenactment of the District Roads Board arriving at the Berwick Inn, and it was just not a group of people. It, interestingly, the people that acted those parts were members of the family of the first Roads Board or other people who had long associations with the area. So there's George Wilson, who's, I think his grandfather was on the Roads Board, and the late Alan Funston was there, and Keyes, Philip Keyes, whose forebears were involved, and Barry Johnson, the publican, dressed up as a ye old worldly publican, and they all arrived in the crowd, watched this, and Philip Keyes arrived on a penny farthing bicycle, and a couple of them arrived in a jinker, I think. Then the Governor arrived and was greeted by Barry Simon, and the council meeting, which had started in the inn, resumed, and there was a motion of loyalty to the Queen, and the Governor read the proclamation, and it was all very formal, and then we went up the hill to the Senior Citizens building, where there was an historical display put on by the Berwick Pakenham Historical Society, and I think we had a cup of tea somewhere or other too, The meeting, of course, had been adjourned and it was resumed in the Dufton Public Hall. And that was the time when all of the recommendations that the council had meeting informally had prepared prior to the 1st of October. There was a few hundred of them and they were adopted in batches. And the Dufton Hall was full, a few hundred people there. We had supper afterwards. And that finished the 1st of October proclamation. So then the next major steps were the appointment of senior staff, and council advertised for a dual management system, town clerk and city engineer, and advertised and appointed Pat Northeast and Max Pawsey, and then subsequently appointed myself and Ross Curry as deputies, and the rest of the senior staff. And it's interesting in this 21st year the fact that Ross Curry and myself are still here and that others appointed at that time are still here. For instance, Peter Meeking, Ken Derricott and Peter Tempest, senior staff that have been there all the way through. And Max Fletcher and Ron Chidgey also, the two other staff that came to us at the very earliest time, I think it would have been early 74. So then we established our initial office. Pat Northhurst and myself started at the Shire of Berwick's offices in Pakenham in would have been December. I think it was the 10th of December. And we started just working for the City of Berwick from the Shire office. We had a little couple of cubby holes there. And our big, we had two or three major challenges. One was where we were going to have our office. And the council looked at the possibility of acquiring or leasing a number of sites. One that comes to mind is the what's now the Community Centre for the Berwick Bray Retirement Village. It's a big house up there. And we also looked at a couple of other sites, but we honed in the end on a site office owned by the Country Roads Board, as it was then known, which was the building in Kays Avenue, Hallam, adjacent to the freeway at the corner of the Princes Highway. And that had been the site office for the construction of the freeway right through from Dandenong down into the South Gippsland Highway, and it was vacant.
Well, I started with the City only had four employees in the office, and I was one of them. So there's a few changes since then. There were nobody else in the health office. I was also the purchasing officer. That was because I had a station wagon and could carry things and go and get things. We started work in the Country Roads Board huts on the freeway, and when we started there was only one hut, and then each of us managed to build other ones to go up. I think there were very few people, only a population of 20,000. I'd have to look up how many garbage bins there were, but there weren't many. And the garbage service we had then was initially, I can't remember,